Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara and Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Dalet. We begin about 15 lines down from the top of Lamed Dalet Lamed Alef with the two dots. We learn for the continued success of Tzahal, they should be safe. All those in need of a full shleimer should have one. Be'ezus Hashem Bimheira. They should bring back the Chatufim Bimheira. In all in good health. And Be'ezus Hashem they should be shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up at the two dots, 15 lines down from the top, Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is quoted where it says, Shilein, if the Shomer Chinam says, I will pay, V'lo Ratzo Lishav, instead of swearing, V'chule, so then he will be entitled to the Kefel, as we explained, and now the Gemara is going to discuss that in more detail. Amar Rabbi Yechiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yechiya Bar Abba says the name of Yochanan. When we said in the Mishnah that he will pay, and he'll be entitled to the Kefel, it doesn't mean that he literally has to pay before he's entitled to the kefil. Lo shilein shilein mamush. Ruchi Bar Abba says in the name of Yochanan, when the Mishnah said, if he is paying, then he's entitled to the kefil, it doesn't mean that he actually had to have paid. It's just that he said even, Elokim and Sha'amar, as long as he says, I'm not going to swear, I'm going to pay, Hareini Mishalim, that's enough to entitle him to the kefil and the dalad behei. Even though he didn't financially, physically, actually pay the money. The fact that he said he will pay the money, at that moment in time, he's already entitled to the kefil and the dal v'hei. Now, more questions this and says, wait a second. Keep on reading the Mishnah. It's not. Shilem v'lo rotzo lishava. The Mishnah said, if he goes and pays and doesn't want to swear, that implies shilem, he has to actually pay the money. If then he's entitled to the kefil, the dollar of hay. Lo shilem, but reading carefully the Mishnah, it implies that if he did not actually pay the money, he just said he would, lo, then he's not entitled to the kefil, the dollar of hay. That goes against this statement that we just made, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. So it says, no, keep on reading the Mishnah. Ema Seifa. The Seifa then said, Nishba, but if he swore, the lower Tzol Shalom, because he says, listen, I wasn't negligent, and therefore, that's the rules of a Shalom Chinam. I can swear that I wasn't negligent, and then I don't have to pay. So it says there, Taima de lo rotza, he doesn't want to pay. Implication being, ha rotza, if he had just wanted to pay, even without actually paying, then he would be entitled to the kefil. So ha-rotza afopi shaloshilem. So the implication of the seifa is different than the implication of the reisha. So therefore, elamehah lekel mishma mina. Therefore, you can't learn from the implication of the reisha or the seifa what the din is, and it doesn't slug up this din that Rav Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan. And in fact, we have a brisa in support of that din. Tanya Kavasi Rav Yochanan, we have a brisa that supports this din that Rav Yochanan said, Hasocher Parah Mechaveru. If somebody rents a cow from his friend, the Nigva, and the cow was stolen. Now, a socher, the way we paskin, is going to be chayev in the situation of Gineva of Yaveda. He can't say, I wasn't negligent. He'll be chayev for Gineva of Yaveda. That's the way Rav Yehuda holds. That's the way we paskin. The Omer HaLaw, and the person says, Hareini Mishalim, Veini Nishba. I'm going to go and pay, and I'm not going to swear. Now, the Achakach Nimsa Ganav, if you there afterwards go and find the Ganav, Mishalim Teshlumi Kevel Soker. So then, even though he didn't yet pay, Hareini Mishalim, I will pay. But it doesn't say that he paid yet. So in this situation, if you find the Ganav, so then the Shomer, the Socher over here, will be entitled, Mishalim Tushlum Kefil, the Socher. The Ganav will pay the Tushlum Kefil to the Socher. Oh, this is exactly what Rav Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Yochanan, that just the intention to say, I will pay, is enough to go and make you have to go and pay. Now, I just said that this is according to Rav Yehuda, so then, of course, he would be Chayef for Gneva Veda. What does it have to do with whether he pays or not? So this could be talking about List the Mesuyan armed robbers, which would be an Ones. And therefore, he technically would not be chayav to pay. And therefore, when he says, I will pay, so then he's taking upon himself the responsibility. Or it could be going according to Rav Meir, who says that he's going to be potter for Gneva V'Aveda, and therefore, his situation of Vinignava, so he in fact would be potter. But he says, no, Hareini Mishalim, I wish to pay. Again, the critical point over here isn't the machlokas between Rehud and Rav Meir on Socher. The critical point over here is that just the intention, the saying that I will pay, Hareini Mishalim, is enough to get you the status of being the owner of this item now, and therefore the Ganav will pay you the kefil or the dalad v'hei. Now, on Rapapa says, Shomer Chinam, if the person who was given the pikadon is a Shomer Chinam, Kivan Sha'amar Pashati, as soon as he says, he just has to say, I was negligent, and therefore I'm having to pay, so machner lekvela. So at that moment in time, he acquires the kefil. Now we learned in yesterday's year, that's really not at that moment in time. it was really that he acquired it at the time of the actual giving over the pikadon, at the time of the deposit, or it could be, according to one shita, that we had said that it was right before it was stolen from him. So in any event, Machne Leih Kfeila is that he does get the double payment. He'll get the kefil, he'll get the dollar of hay, because he is paying in this situation, he's not making a shur. And even though he actually was negligent, nevertheless, he still gets, he's entitled now, if they find the ganav, to get the dollar of the hay or the kefil payment, depending on what the ganav did. So Machne Leih Kfeila. The e-boy, because if he had wished to, Potter Nafshei, he could exempt himself, Bigneva, by saying that the animal was stolen, and Shomachin was Potter Figneva Veveda. Similarly, a Shomasacha, who is higher for Pshia and Gneva Vyaveda, as soon as Kivan Shomar Nignava, if he says that it was stolen, so Machne Leih Kfeila. So also, in that situation, he would be entitled to go get the Kefil. Now, a Shomasacha can't exempt himself by saying it was Nignav. So again, we must be talking here about it was listed Mizuyin, it was armed robbers that took it. And in fact, if he had said that there were armed robbers, then he would be potter. So here, he is saying, no, I'm going to go and pay. Kivan Sharma Nignava, he says it was stolen. So therefore, he's obligating himself to have to pay. So Machne Leih Kfeila. So at that point in time, he's entitled to the kefil. Because the boy, potter nafshei b'shvur meitzah. Because if he had wished to, he could have said it was stolen in a way by lishna mezuyin, by armed robbers. Or it was shvur, it was broken in an accident through meitzah, and it died through an uncontrollable, unpreventable accident for which onsen he would be potter for. So again, he had a way to exempt himself. So from the fact that he doesn't exempt himself, just like the shomer chidam, the shomer sach is the same thing. He could have exempted himself from having to pay, but he voluntarily took upon himself to go and pay, even though he hasn't yet paid. So he is entitled in this situation to go and get the kefil or the dal b'hei. However, Rapop, according to the first version, Shoel, Shaomer, Hareni, Mishalim, if the Shoel says, I will pay, so then, Lo Machne Leih Kfeila. Just by saying that he will pay, he's not entitled to the kefila. Different than the Shomachinim, Shomasacha. This is the first version that we have of Rapop. Now, because Rapop explains, what's he going to say? The Shomer, Shchinam, the Shomasacha, they have many different arguments that they can bring forward to exempt themselves. The Shomachinim can say anything except that he was negligent. The Shomasacha can say it was onsen, or it was listed mezuyin, armed robbers, or some sort of an accident. So they could each exempt themselves with something that is potentially likely to occur. But the Shoel, the only time that he could make is b'meisa machmas milocha, that it died while the animal was being worked appropriately. So meisa machmas milocha lo shchiach, that's very unusual. And therefore, the first version of Rav Papa that we have says that unless he actually pays, if he actually pays, it's different. But just by saying he will pay, so that doesn't machne him. He doesn't get the kefil, the dollar of the hay. And if they find the ganav before he actually pays, so then the owner of the item will be entitled to the kefil and the dollar of the hay and not the shoah. That's the first version of Rav Papa. The second version of Rav Papa goes as follows. Ika the Amre, I'm Rav Papa, Shol Nami. No, the same din applies to the Shoah. As soon as he says, Kivin Shama Hareini Mishalim, he doesn't give the title of Mesa Machmas Melacha, which he could give. So as soon as he says, no, I will pay, so then Machne Leih Kfeila, then the Shoah, just like the Shomachinim, just like the Shomasachar, is entitled to the Kefil and the Dal of the Hay. Because the E-boy, if he had wished to, Potter Nafshei B'Mesa Machmas Melacha, because he did have the title of saying Mesa Machmas Melacha. Okay, so this opinion of Rav Papa is consistent as well with the opinion of Chiyah Barab in the name of Yochanan, that just saying you're going to pay is enough, certainly by the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, and then we had the first version of Rav Papa that says it doesn't apply to a shawl, and the second version of Rav Papa says it does apply to a shawl. In any event, Rav Zvid disagrees with Rav Papa. Amalei Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid tells Rav Papa, Hokhiyom Abaye, this is what Abaye paskin. Abaye said, Shoel Ach Yishalim. No. The Shoel is only entitled to the kefil if he actually pays. But up until the point in time where he pays, he says he will pay, that's not enough. Then the kefil will go to the original owner. Why? My time up. Hoel, the chol hanoa shalow, b'dibura lo machne leih kfeila. This person who borrowed the item, he's getting all the benefit. The one who lent him the item, he got no real benefit from lending his item out. All the benefit was on the borrower, on the Shoel. And therefore, there's no way he's giving up the kefil until he actually gets paid. In the case of the Shomer Chinam, in the case of Shomer Sachar, so the guy's getting back his principal. And the other person was doing him a favor. The Shomer Chinam was doing him a total favor. Even the Shomer Sachar was, okay, I'm paying you, but you're watching my stuff. So the person who gave the pikadon to the Shomer Chinam or the Shomer Sachar was getting benefit. But here the Shoel, he's giving his animal to the one who's borrowing it to the Shoel. he's not getting any benefit, the one who owns it, and therefore, until he actually gets paid, so then there is no kefil. That is what Rav Zvid said, and now, the Gemara says, we have a braisa in support of Rav Zvid. The braisa says, Hashol par michaver, if somebody borrows a cow from his friend, and the cow is then stolen, v'nigdva, so the shol would be chayiv, v'kidem hashol v'shilim, and it says, now the simple reading over here, that we're reading it right now, is that the shol went ahead, and he actually paid the person who he borrowed the item from for the item. He's chayiv for the greva, and he paid him. The cow's worth $100, he paid the guy $100. Now they find the ganav after he paid the $100. V'kidim hashol v'shilim. After he paid the $100, v'yachid kachnim sa ganav. They now find the ganav. In this situation, implying only after he paid him, mishalim teshlum ekeful v'shol. Only in this situation is the shol, the one who borrowed the cow, entitled to get the kefil payment from the ganav. Now, clearly, the simple way to understand this is lelishna kama the rapapa. According to the first version that we had of rapapa, that the din was that even if you just said it was only by shomachinim and a shomesachar, that if you just said you're going to pay, then you're entitled to the kefil. But the first version of rapapa said that the shoel shomer harini mishalim lo machni lekvela. So the simple reading over here, according to Rashi, is lelishna kama the rapapa. According to that first version of rapapa, the brisa is definitely in accord with that. Vaday lo hevi tiyufta. That's not a shaila. That's in support actually of the first version that we had of rapapa. Now others disagree. I learned this differently, but we'll learn it nice and simple like Rashi. So, Vadi Lohevi Tiyufta, this Braisa doesn't pose a problem to the first version that we had of Rav Papa. In fact, it agrees with the first version of Rav Papa that the Shoel, by just saying he will pay, doesn't get the kefil. It's only when he actually pays the money that he gets the kefil, as the Braisa exactly says. However, according to the second version of Rav Papa, that the din applies even to a Shoel who says, I will pay, he's entitled to the kefil, the Braisa seems to be a Tiyufta. However, Lelishna Basra, the second version of Rapapa, Lema Tevi Tiyufta, it appears to be a Tiyufta. So Amalek Rapapa, how would Rapapa reconcile this Braisa that was brought in support of Rav Zvid? Not to be a problem for him, the second version. So he says, no. Mi alima mi mesnisin. Is the Braisa any stronger than our Mishnah? Just like in our Mishnah, when we said, it said Shilem v'lo rotzo lishava, and we explained that Shilem didn't mean he actually paid it, as Rav Yochanan, it said, Ruchiyah v'Rabba said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Dekloni Shilem, it meant, we said that it meant, not that he actually paid it, he said he would pay. So just like in the Mishnah, we changed the word from Shilem to mean that he said he would pay, not that he actually paid. So too, just like in the Mishnah, we can explain the Braisa when it said that he was Mishalem. No, it doesn't mean that he was actually Mishalem. It meant that he said he would pay, and therefore no different to the Mishnah, and therefore the Braisa that we brought down in support of Rosvit is not a kasha to the second version of Rapapa. Where says, wait a second, that's not true. Me dummy, the words are different. Hasam loktani kidem. Hachoktani kidem. Our Mishnah didn't say he jumped ahead. He went ahead and paid. So therefore, you can explain our Mishnah. Shilim means he said he would pay. But the Braisa said kidem. He went ahead and paid. So therefore, how can you say that the Braisa is talking about he just said it? It said kidem. So how would Rapapa answer that? So my kidem, Rapapa would say, what does the word kidem mean? It meant kidem v'yomar. He jumped ahead, he went, and he said he would go and pay. It's not that he actually paid. So even the Braisa means, kidem means he jumped ahead and said he would pay, but lav davka he actually paid. Or says, wait a second. Homi diktoni gabi socher v'yomar. But in the first Braisa we brought down, in support of Rav Chiya bar Abba, on Rav Yochanan, we had said over there, ha midiktoni gabi socher, it said in regards to the socher, the omar, he just said he would pay, the gabi shol, it says, the kidem. So there's a different language between the two brises. The first brisa, which was supportive of Rav Yochanan's statement, didn't use the word v'kidem. The second brisa, which was talking about the shol, went and used the word v'kidem. Now, we're working right now that both prices were set at the same time. So therefore, the language is expected to be parallel. And if one says kidem and the other one doesn't, it means kidem means he actually paid. So that's the kasha that we now say. So both prices were set at the same time. Shmami no, dafka ketani. So the part of the price that it says, the kidem must mean that he actually went ahead and he paid. As opposed to the first part by the socher, it didn't say the word the kidem. So it meant that he said and not that he actually went and paid. So the Gemara says, who says that both brises were taught at the same time? Me de gabi adodi tanya. Who says they were both taught at the same time? This brise was taught at one time, unrelated to it. The other brise was taught at another time, and therefore you can't say that the Tana is specific. In one place it uses the word kidev, in one place it doesn't use the word kidev, so therefore it means two different things. No, one brise was taught separately, and it used the term v'shilev, and it didn't say the kidev. The other one, it happened to be taught separately, and it used the word the kidev, but they both mean the same thing, just that he went to say he would pay. So who says they were both taught at the same time? So they went and asked the experts on brises. So Shailinu Litanoi Devei Rabbi Chia Udevei Rabbi Oshaya. So we've mentioned many, many times that the authentic brises, the most authentic brises, were edited and redacted by Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oshaya. So therefore, these two great rabbis, they said this is an authentic brisa, and they codified it. And the other brisa said, no, we can't authenticate this. We're not sure that this is an authentic brisa. And they were left even further outside. So they went to ask Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Oshaya, no, what is the halacha? They went to the Beis Medrash of these two great rabbis, and they said, what is the halacha? Is this brisa written together, or was it two separate brises? The Omri, and they said, Gabi Hadodi Tanya, they were in fact written both together. And therefore, you have to be specific. When it said Shilem, and then the other one that says V'kidem V'shilem, it means two different things. The first one could be, he just said, but the second one means he actually went and paid, and therefore it is a tiyufta onto the second version, the Ikud the Amre of Rav Papa. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go ask a whole list of questions, of scenarios, and it's going to end up with a teiku. We're not going to come to an answer to these questions. So the Gemara starts off and tells us pshita. The rule is, halacha is obvious. Omer eini mishalim. If a shomer says, listen, I'm not going to go and pay. In other words, I'm going to swear. But then he changes his mind. Before he actually swears, he says, you know, I don't want to swear. Here's the money, and I take responsibility. So in this situation, since he eventually said, Ha karma reini mishalim, so therefore he's entitled to the kaful payment, the dollar vehei payment, and when he originally said, eini mishalim, so okay, that was his original statement, but now he's going to pay, and therefore he's entitled to the kaful. That's clear. That's obvious. And now, based upon that, we'll build all the other questions. What happens? El Omar, reini mishalim, the exact opposite. He originally says, I'm going to go and pay. And we turn to Lamed Dalet, Omid Beis, the Chaza, but then he changes his mind. The Omar, Eini Misham. Then he says, no, I'm not going to go and pay. I changed my mind. I'm going to swear I'm not going to pay. What's the law in this situation? My. Do we say, Mi Amrinon Mahader Kor Hadr Bey, that he retracted his original statement. He said originally, I'm going to pay, but now he says, no, I'm not going to pay. And therefore, he has the right to do so. And he no longer is entitled to the Kefil. His original, Hareini Mishalem, I'm going to pay, gave him the Kefil, but now he's retracting that. So he's not entitled to the Kefil. What do we say on Dilma? Maybe the Milsei Koi, that this over here, his original statement, Hareini Mishalim, that's still in effect. He's not really retracting over here. He said, Bahamar Chazavi Amar Eini Mishalim, that's just Duchuyehu. He's just pushing off the owner of the original owner of the item, the Kodmachila, he's pushing him off. He doesn't have the cash right now. No, he owes him $100. He says, okay, I'm going to pay you. I don't have the $100 right now. I'm not going to pay you. But he really does want to pay him. So therefore, he still would be entitled to the kefil if the ganav comes. The only reason he said, I'm not going to pay, is because he doesn't have the cash right now. So that's the first question. Again, we're not going to come to an answer to any of these. So each time we're going to say, Iboy the lov shitale. This question is not answered. We're going to end up with a teiku. Next question. Amarini Mishalim. The shomer says, I'm going to go and pay. And then he dies. Umeis, before he had an opportunity to go and pay. So his Yarshim now would have this responsibility to go and pay. For Amru Bana, but the Yarshim, his son, say, ain't on a Mishama. We're not going to go pay. So what's the halacha? Their father could have sworn, but and not had to pay. But they obviously can't swear; they don't know anything about it. So what's the halacha in this situation? My, do we say mi amrinon mahader kohadribu? Just like if their father had retracted, so the father has the right to go and retract, and therefore they don't have to go and pay, and therefore they wouldn't get the kefil. Now if the ganav comes, they find the ganav, so they wouldn't be entitled to get the kefil. Or do we say no, Odilma, no, Bimilsa the Avuan Kaime, that no, their father had said that he was going to pay. So therefore, they're now saying we don't want to pay, it's just because they don't have the cash right now. Uduhui who did call matkule, just like we said before, the father would originally say Mishalim, and then he says Chazav Yomer Eini Mishalim, he's just pushing him off, possibly. So too, maybe the sons, the Yarshim, are just pushing him off because they don't have the cash right now. But therefore, if the ganav is found, they would be entitled to the kefil. We don't answer this question either. What happens if, in fact, the Yarshim paid? Their father said, I'm going to pay, and the Yarshim paid. Shilmu banim. Now, what's the halacha? You find the ganav. Hi. Do we say, Matzi Amalu, can the owner of this pikadon say to the sons, listen, ki akinai kfela, when I would have given over the kefil to your father. It was only la'avuchon. It was only to your father because the avid li na'ech nefshoy, because he was nice to me. He watched this thing for me as a shomachinim. So for him, if he pays the money, I'm happy to give him the kefil. But you guys, I don't know you guys at all. L'lidchu, you're his sons. I have no relationship with you. I have no hakoras hatov to you for watching my item. And therefore, lo, I'll give you back the money that you gave me. However, the kefil, I'm entitled to keep to myself. Or not, or Dilma, maybe, lo shnot, doesn't make any difference. The bottom line is that the son's paid, so therefore they're entitled to get the kefil. We don't answer this question either. What about if shilim lebanim? Let's say the original person who owned this item, deposit with the shomachinim, the mafkid, he dies. Now, the children of the mafkid, so they're entitled to get the money. And in fact, the shomachinim goes and pays the children of the mafkid. My, what's the halacha? In this situation, Matzi Amalei, can they go and tell the shomer? Can the children of the original mafkid go and tell the shomer? Listen, ki akli loch avuno kefela. When our father, if you had paid our father, he would have given you the rights to the kefel. That's because the avis lay nayech nashi. Because again, you were very nice to him. You watched this item for free, and he had hakor satov to you, and therefore he would have been willing to give you the kefel once you paid him the money. Avol anan, but us, we have no relationship with you. L'didan lo, we have no reason to go and give you the kefil. We'll keep the kefil. We'll give you back the principal that you paid us. However, we're going to keep the kefil. Or not. Or we say, oh, Dilma, lo shnot. Doesn't make any difference. What difference does it make if the person who was the shomachinam paid the father back or he paid the arshin back? Once he pays back, he's entitled to the kefil no matter what. What happens if both of them died? The mafki died and the shomachinam died. And then the children, Shilmu banim levanim. So the children of the shomer chinam went and paid the children of the mafkid. What's the law here? My. Again, the same question could go. Do we say that it was only to their father they would have given the kefil, but not to the sons? Or do we say no? What difference does it make? Once the money is given over, they're entitled to the kefil. No answer to this one as well. We continue. Shile mechtsa. What happened if the shomer chinam said, I'll pay, and he paid only for half of it? He said he'll pay for half of the item. So he didn't ever say he'll pay for the whole thing. He said, listen, I feel bad. I'm a shomachinim. I'm entitled to be potter because I wasn't negligent, but I feel bad for you, so I'll pay you half of it. My, what's the halacha in this situation? Does he get half the kefil, or does he get nothing because he didn't pay the whole thing? No answer. Shol shtei paros, if a person borrowed, let's say, two cows. So this shol has two cows, and they were stolen. So the shilim achas ben, he paid for one of the cows, and now they find the gadol. So is he entitled to get the kefil for that one cow? Or no, he didn't pay for both of them, so he's not entitled to the kefil. My, again, here, what's the answer? We don't give an answer. Or, shol min ha-shutfim, if you have a person who's a shol, and he borrowed from two people who own the cow. So he borrowed from a partnership, a cow. V'shilem li'echad mehem, and he paid one of the partners his full 50% that he owned in the cow. So again, what's the halacha? Now they find the gadol, and he pays kefil. My, does he get half of the kefil or not? He paid half of the partnership off. He paid the one of the partners his full 50% share. He didn't pay the other partner. So is he entitled to half the kefil or not? My. Likewise, shutfin shishalu, if you had two people that borrowed from one person, v'shilem echamim, and one of the two people paid off his half, is he entitled, that person who paid off the half, is he entitled to half the kefil? My. Again, no answer to this question as well. Next, shal min ha'isha. If a person borrowed something from an isha, Rashi tells us in this situation, he borrowed from her nichsei melug. Rashi says in Dibur Masul shal min ha'isha, para shal nichsei melug. This woman had brought into the marriage nichsei melug, which means she's still considered the owner of these items, but her husband has the use of auction rights. Her husband has the right to use the cow, let's say to plow with the cow, to go and take the milk of the cow. So this is nichsei melug. It belongs to the woman, but the husband has the rights to use it. So if a person borrowed from the woman her nichsei melug cow, parashal nichsei melug, Sha'karin Shalaz, Rashi says, the principal, the cow itself, she owns. However, the payros, the usufruction rights, the rights to the benefits of the cow, to plow with the cow, to have the milk from the cow, labal, they belong to the husband. And now, what happens? The woman had borrowed from her this nichsei melug cow, vishilem labala, and the person who borrowed it when it was stolen, so he gave the money to the husband. He didn't give the money to the wife. So is he entitled to the kefil if they find the ganav? Or do we say, no, he never paid back the woman, and therefore he didn't pay, and therefore the woman is entitled to the kefil. My, we don't answer that question. And finally, the last question that we asked that we're not going to answer is Isha Shishala. Rashi explains that we're dealing over here with a woman that borrows something, Isha Shishola, Litzorech Karka Melukshala. She borrows, let's say, a plow or a cow to go and plow her karka that is her nichse mulug. So she owns the karka, but her husband has the usufruction rights. So Isha Shishala Vishilem Bala. And now this item is lost, it was stolen, and her husband goes and pays back for it. So do we say that's considered that they pay back for it and the woman is entitled to the kefil or not? My, what's the halacha in this situation? And all of these questions are Yibar, Lulav, Shitalei. Every one of these questions is not answered, and we leave them all with a teiku. Usually when we have a teiku like this, so it's Mabon HaMutal B'Safek. We don't know who gets it, so they split it between them. That's the way that we pasuk. Okay. Now the Mishnah goes through another series of questions. And I have a little handout here. You'll be able to click on the handout link on the YU Torah and be able to go and see this handout. It'll make it a little bit easier to follow. Not that it's so complicated, but I think it'll make it a little bit easier to follow. And therefore, I'll refer to my handout, and you'll be able to go and download it as well. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna tells us the following din. Mashbin oso shvua she'eno birshuso. Here we have an additional shvua that the shomer has to go and make, that he doesn't have it in his possession. Yes, he says, okay, I'm willing to pay for it. But he really has it in his possession. It really wasn't stolen. It wasn't lost. He said, you know what? I borrowed this cow. I like the cow a lot. It's a very good cow. Instead of me swearing I wasn't negligent and being punctured, I'm going to pay you for it. I like the cow. So it's as if I bought it for you. Now, you weren't willing to sell it. But he's going to take advantage of the fact that he has it in his possession. And he claims it was lost, but it really wasn't lost. He claims it was stolen. It really wasn't stolen. He has it in his possession. So Rav Huna said, we have an additional shvua that we make over here. Based in makes and make a shvua, mashbino so shvua, she'eina birishuso, that he doesn't have it in his possession. He says that it was lost. He says it was stolen. Or he says, I'm just going to go pay for it. But he also has to swear that he doesn't have it in his possession. Why? Why did Rav Huna say this additional shvua that the rabbis imposed? My taima, because chayshinon shema einav nosan ba. We are concerned that, guess what? He likes this cow. And therefore, we are concerned that he's not telling us the truth. He's willing to pay for it. He's not an outright ganav, but he's essentially saying that it's lost because he wants to buy it, but the owner wasn't willing to sell it. So he says, I'm sorry it was stolen, and therefore I'm paying for it. So we make him make sure that he doesn't have it in his possession to prevent this idea of maybe Shema ain't of Nosan Ba. Now, the more questions this is, really? Rav Huna, you're saying that this is a shvua? And here we have the four cases that we have on the handout. Meisvei. The Gemara questions Rav Huna's statement. We have to get to all the way to the end of it before we see the question around Rav Huna. So, the first case is, Hamal ve'es chavero al hamashko. So, Reuven lends Shimon money, and Shimon gives Reuven a collateral. And the question would be, how much is this collateral worth in this scenario? The avar hamashkon. Reuven loses the mashkon. So Reuven has to go pay for the mashkon. Now, the Amar lo, and Reuven tells the person that he lent the money to, Shimon, the Amar lo, Sela hil visicha, I lent you a Sela, a certain amount of money, and all of this collateral was the collateral for this Sela, and Shekel hayashoveh, and it was worth only a Shekel. A Shekel is a half of a Sela. Okay, so I lent you $100 and you gave me a collateral that was worth $50. And therefore, I lost it. So you only have to pay me back $50. I lent you $100. You gave me something worth $50. I lost it. So you only have to give me back $50. That is what Reuven says to Shimon. That is what the lender says to the borrower. And you can see that on my sheet in case number one. This is called the ratio of the ratio. And the lender says that the item was worth 2 shekels, in other words, a sela. I wrote down the dinar is worth half of a shekel, and the shekel's half of a sela. So this lender, Reuven, says to Shimon, I lent you 2, and as you see, the value of the collateral, he says, was only 1. So therefore, I only expect to get 1 back from you, not the 2. Valomer, but Shimon, the one who borrowed it, so he says, Loki, that's not true. That's not what it was. I agree. Elisela, he'll be son of your love. I agree that you lent me 2, right? The borrower, Shimon, says, I agree that you lent me 2. However, the collateral that I gave you, Sela Hayashava, it was worth 2. And therefore, I don't owe you anything. You lent me something worth 2, okay? 2 shekel, it was worth a Sela, but I gave you collateral that was worth that. If you lost my collateral, so then we're even, Stephen. So in other words, he's totally denying everything, and therefore he's potter. He's a total denial, and midaraisa, there's no shvuah of moda b'miktzas, because he's denying everything. And therefore, in this situation, there is no shvuah, and the person who borrowed the money, Shimon, doesn't have to pay anything. Now, the next case, which we call the Sefer of Dereisha, is Sela Hilvisicha Olav. Again, Reuven, the one who lends the money, says, I lent you a Sela, and Shekel Hoyoshova, and you gave me collateral that was worth the Shekel. So here, the lender says, I lent you two, and again, the collateral you gave me, he says, was only worth one. But Shimon, the one who borrows the money, says, he's the borrower. Shimon says, Loki, that's not true. Again, I agree. Elosela hovisani olav. I agree that you lent me two. The borrower agrees that the amount of money that was lent was two. This sela, however, shlosho dinarim hayashave. But the collateral I gave you wasn't worth two, but it was worth one. It was worth three dinarim. A dinar is half of a shekel, so three dinarim is 1.5 over here of shekel, and that is less than the sela, but it's more than the one that the lender is claiming. So therefore, this is now a moda b'miktzah situation, and he's chayev in a shvua, because they're arguing over here about 50%, but the other 50% he agrees, because he's saying it's 1.5, and the lender is saying it was 1. So they're moda to the other 0.5, but they're arguing about this 0.5, and therefore this 3 dinarim versus 1 dinar is a mode b'miktzas, and in fact, Shimon will be chayv a shvua d'oraisa of mode b'miktzas in this situation. This is the Sefer of the Reisha. Now we're going to have two more cases. The next case, which we'll call the Reisha of the Sefer, is Sela Hilvisani Olav. Here, the lender is claiming, yes, you lent me a Sela. You lent me something worth 2, right? We're calling the Sela 2, the shekel is 1, and the dinar is 0.5. So, Beis HaYashava, and I gave you a collateral that was worth 2. So, this collateral is worth 2 Sela, which is equal to 4 shekel. And that's what you can see on my diagram listed next to number 3. So, the person who borrows the money, Shimon, says, yes, you lent me 2, but I gave you collateral that was worth 4 Beis Sela, 4 shekel. That is what Shimon, the borrower, says. Halo Omer, but Reuven, the lender, he says, Loki, that's not true. Ela Sela Hilvisicha Olav and Sela Yeshava. I lent you 2, and you gave me collateral that was worth 2. And therefore, I don't owe you anything, because I lent you 2, you gave me something that was worth 2 and I lost it, so we're even, Stephen. So in this situation, he's not modeh b'miktzas at all. The lender is not modeh b'miktzas, and therefore, there is no shvuah. He's part from a shvuah of modeh b'miktzas. This will be ultimately case number 3. Now, case number 4, and this is called the Sefer, as I have on my sheet next to number 4, is Sela Helvisani Olav. Again, Shimon, the one who borrowed the money, says, you lent me 2. You lent me a Sela, which is 2 shekel. So, Sela Helvisani Olav. Shnayim HaYashave. And it was worth 4. I gave you collateral that was worth 4. So I borrowed 2, and I gave you collateral that was worth 2 Sela, which is 4 shekel. And in this situation, the one who lent the money, the lender, Reuven, says, no, Valomer, low key, that's not true. Yes, Eloselva Hilvisicha Olav, we all agree that I lent you 2 shekel, 1 Sela, Sela Hilvisicha Olav. However, Hey Dinarim HaYashava, the collateral that you gave me was not worth 4, was not worth 2, it was worth 5 Dinarim, which is 2.5 shekel. Again, we're using the shekel as the base as 1. So, I am therefore Mode B'miktzas. I agree that I owe you 0.5, because you gave me something worth 2.5, and I only gave you the money that was worth 2, so I owe you 0.5. But you're claiming I owe you another 1.5. I owe you a total of 4. So I say I owe you only 0.5. You say I owe you another 1.5. That's a mode of a mixas. So in this situation, Reuven is mode of a mixas, and he'll have to make a shvua d'oraisa of a mode of a mixas shvua. Because, hey, there are hayashavah chayv. He has to make that shvua. So in cases number 2 and number 4, there is a requirement for the shvua because it's mode of a mixas. In cases number 1 and number 3, there is no shvua because it's a total denial. Now, mi nishba. Who swears over here as to what the collateral is worth? Because that's what we're arguing about. How much is the collateral worth? So The Gemara says, "Mi shapi called an etzel, the one in possession of the collateral, he's the one that has to swear. Why? Because shema yishav is that if the other guy goes and swears, so then the yotzi aloha se pikadon, he'll pull out the pikadon and say, 'Ha, you're saying it's worth this? Look, it's not worth that.' And he'll make the other person into being posel to ever go and swear again. He'll turn him into a cheat, and he'll be posel lishvua." As Rashi points out, in this situation, we don't want to make this person into a liar. And therefore, we would prefer to have the other person, the one in possession of the pikadon, make the shvua, because there's no way he can ever bring it out and say, "I was wrong." So therefore, the person who makes the shvua should be the one that has the pikadon in his possession. Now, who is that? Hi, which of the four cases are we going on? Ilei mo aseifah, if you're telling me that it goes on the seifah, so then the table blade, the shvua gabi malvihi, and then the shvua would be by the malveh, so then what's the problem? Why are you telling me that we keep it by the one who has the baal pikado, so the other person shouldn't make the shvua, and then he'll pull out and say, "You were lying," and therefore you'll be possibly edos. Ilei masefa, if you're telling me it goes on scenario number four, the tabak laid the shvua gabi malvi, and the malva, the one who lent the money, Ruvain, should have to go make the shvua, but that has nothing to do with, maybe he's going to lie, and the other guy's going to pull out the bikadon. He's the one with the bikadon. So it should have said, the whole komode mixes a taina. It should have said, because he's the one who's making the mode of a mixas taina, and therefore, that's why he has to swear. So it's not because over here we're concerned that Shema Yishov Azev, the Yotzi Allah has a bikadon. He's the one that has the bikadon. So it can't be a shua in case number four. So the only other place where we had a shua was scenario number two. So Ela Omashmo. A reisha. We're talking about the reisha. And what does it mean, the reisha? It doesn't mean case number one, because there was no shvua there. It means a sefer the reisha, case number two, the second part of the reisha, which was the case. Again, just to remind us, the Gemara goes through it again. Look at line number two that I have on my handout. Sela hilvisicha olav. The lender says to the borrower, I lent you a sela, which is two shkolim, and it was based upon the collateral, sela hilvisicha olav, shekel o yeshava. And the collateral that you gave me was only worth one. It was worth one shekel. So, in other words, you still have got to pay me one. You're right. I lost your one, so you don't have to pay me the one that I lost, the collateral that I lost, but you have to pay me the other one because I lent you two. That's what Ruvain says. That's what the lender says. However, Va'alomer Shimon, the borrower, says, "Loki, that's not true. Elosel v'visani olav. I agree, you lent me two. No argument on that. However, shloshu didarim ha'yashava. But the collateral that I gave you was worth 3 dinarim, which is 1.5. So therefore, I only have to pay you 0.5, and not the one that you're claiming. This is a mode of b'mikzas chayim. So the borrower, Shimon, would be the one that would have to make the shvua here under normal circumstances. It's a mode of b'mikzas shvua, and he would be the one that have to swear. The shvua gabi lovu, the lova, the borrower, he's the one that would naturally have to make this modiv mixa shvua. And along comes the Mishnah and concludes, mi nishba, who makes the shvua over here? V'yom rabbanon lishtaba malve. We flip it around. Instead of having the lova make the modiv mixa shvua, that it was only worth 1.5, we have the lender, Reuven. He goes and makes the shvua that it was worth one. Lishtaba malveh. We flip it around. Why? Oh, that's what we said. Shema yishav azeh. Because if the loveh, if Shimon were to go and swear that it was worth 1.5, then halah, the yotzi halah es hapikadon, Reuven pulls out the pikadon and says, "Aha, you swore falsely. Look, it's only worth one and not the 1.5 that you said." And then poor Shimon is going to be possible to ever make a shvua again. He'll be a person who's now considered a cheat, and therefore we don't want to put him in that situation, and we flip around the shvua and make the malva make the shvua that it's worth one, rather than the lova make the shvua that it's worth 1.5. Now, here's we finally get to the question of Rav Huna. Again, remember, back, Rav Huna said that the person who has the pikadon, was given the pikadon, has to swear that he doesn't have it in his possession, because maybe he looked at it and said, "I like it, and I'll just lie and say that it was stolen, and I'll really just pay for it and buy it." So Rav Huna said that he has to make a shvua anyway. So the lova has to make the shvua anyway. So the Gemara now says, V'im, and we turn to Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Isol of the Rav Huna. The Rav Huna says that whoever has the Pikadon in their possession, he's the one that has to swear, I didn't have it in my possession anymore because we're concerned. Chashina, maybe he likes it and he's just willing to pay for it. So then the Malva has to make a shua anyway. Kiva the Mishtaba Malva, Shaina Birshuso, Hechi Motzi Mavikle. So if Rav Huna is right, he has to make a shua. I don't have it in my possession. So what are we concerned about? Why are we flipping around the shua from the Lova Shimon? Instead of him saying it's worth 1.5, we're saying that the Malva has to say that it's worth 1. What are we concerned about? There's no way, according to Rav Huna, that he can then pull it out and say, aha, you're a liar, it's not worth 1.5, it's worth 1. He had to make sure he doesn't have it. So he's going to pull it out of his pocket. So it must be that the Mishnah goes against Rav Huna. So I'm a Rava, that's the gears that we have on the side. It says, Nira the Tzorach Lomar Rabba. The Mishnah Sasha says it should be Rabba over here, because we're going to have, in a moment, a statement from Abaya. And if this was, in fact, Rava over here, then Abaya's statement would have come first. We normally put Abaya's statements ahead of Rava. In any event, Omar Rabba, it says on the side, Sheyesh Edim Shenisifa. We're dealing over here in a situation where there were Edim that it was burnt up. And if there were Edim that it was burnt up, there's no concern in this situation that he intentionally is keeping it for himself. We have Edim that say that it was burnt up. So therefore, that is the scenario that we're talking about. And therefore, we can flip around the Shua because there is a possibility that he'll bring it out. Moore says, wait a second, if you tell me the Edom burned it up, then what's the possibility that he'll bring it out? How could he bring it out if the Edom that said it was burned up? So then why do we flip around the Shua? So Moore says, no, El Omer of Yosef, you're right. Sheyesh Edom Shenigdava, we have witnesses say that it was stolen, not that it was burned up. And therefore, it still is around. It's extant someplace in the world, and we're concerned that the Malva is going to find it and say, aha, you lied when you're saying it's worth 1.5, and that's why we still flip it around. Moore says, so, bottom line is, the Hechem Aisla, if it was stolen, how's he going to bring it out? How's the Malva going to bring it out? So Moore says, because the Tarechu Maisila, that Malva is upset that this guy swore that it's worth 1.5, but it was only worth 1. So he's going to find and look and search and find, and he's going to ultimately find the Ganav and say, aha, here you see, the item, it was worth 1 and not 1.5. And therefore, it will turn out that this person who borrowed the money, Shimon, is going to be proven to be a liar, and he'll be possibly Eidus. The Torah Humaisila, the Malva. So Gemara says, Ihachi, then the Lova, this Shimon, Kimishtaba Malva, Nami Litrach Lova Laisi. So wait a second. So what are you going to say? So the Malva should go swear that it's 1? Well, guess what? The Lova, Shimon's going to search and search and search. Say, I can't believe he said that it's worth 1. It's really worth 1.5. And he'll find the Ganav, and he'll go and say, see, it's worth 1.5. And the Malva will now be possibly Eidos. So how did we gain anything by flipping around the Shvua? So Gemara says, Kimishtaba Malva, Nami Litrach Lova Laisi. Gemara says, no, there's a big difference. Bishlama Malva, to say that the Malva is going to go trouble himself to go and find the Ganav because he had it in his house, the item, before it was stolen. And he knows who enters his house. He'll go check out his ring camera. He'll go and look to see who entered his house, or he'll go through his records to see who was in my house. And Yodem Man Ko'ayel V'nochav Devesei. He'll go and see who entered my house. Ah, that's the Ganav. Ah, that worker that came in here, he's the Ganav. He knows who came into his house and who didn't come into his house. So therefore, he'll figure out who the Ganav was. He can be Tarach. He can go and trouble himself Umaisilo and find the Ganav. Also the Tarach Maisila, and he'll go and do so because he's very upset that this guy swore falsely about the cloud. He says it's worth 1.5, it's only worth 1. Elalova, the guy who borrowed the money, Shimon, he doesn't have access to the other guy's house. He doesn't have access to his ring camera. He doesn't have access to his records as to who entered the house, which workers were there, which people came into the house to do something. Elalova, Miyoda, Man Ayel, the Norfolk, Vivese, the Malva. So how is he ever going to figure it out? And therefore, this is not something that the Lova can do, and therefore we find a distinction between the Malva and the Lova, and therefore we do flip around the Shvur in the case where the Edom say that it was Nignav, because it is possible they'll still pull it out, and therefore we flip around the Shvur and make the Malva have to make the Shvur that it was worth 1, and not have the Lova make the Shvur that it was worth 1.5. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. We're still in the middle of the Inyan a little bit. Mirtz Hashem will pick it up tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Everyone should have a wonderful day.